see or do over and over and over again is going to create.
Caroline's here.
Eileen's here.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Caroline.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, Carl.
Good. How are you, Carl?
Very well, very well.
Marjorie.
Hey, Marjorie.
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Marjorie.
Carl.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, hey. So welcome, welcome. So we'll
I'm
just wait a, another minute, let everybody
yeah.
log in.
Okay.
And we'll get this party started.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That was a very good call this morning, Carl.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very, very good. You encapsulated the whole, everything that I have learned so far.
Oh, good.
It was
yeah.
A great refresher.
Oh, good.
Yes, wasn't it? Yes.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, how do I access that call?
Oh, we'll send you, I'll send you the link to it. It was recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He does a monthly training call for Yeah. And, it's always amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And people look forward to him getting on the call because...
And for the folks that were on the call this morning, it's going to be more a bit of a refresher tonight too, so we can go deeper.
Kathy.
Hey, Kathy. We'll go deeper into the topic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Today's.
Hi, this is Mark and Katie in Buena Vista, Colorado.
Hey, Mark and Katie.
Hi, Mark and Katie.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Caroline. Everybody.
Hey there.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark and Katie.
Hello.
Mark. Hi, Michael.
So.
Hello.
All right, hello. So let's get this session started. It's January 23rd, 2019. We are in week six of our dream building group here. We're going into lesson 10, and I'm really excited that everybody's here. So I just invite everybody to take a deep breath with me right now, and let's ground ourselves in the present moment. And again, we can only breathe here and now. We can't breathe in the future. We can't breathe in the past. We can only breathe right now. So that's a great way to hit that pause button, to ground yourself in the moment, right here, right now. Oftentimes when people meditate, you know, they use a focal point to focus their mind. And oftentimes a technique is to focus on your breath. And by doing that, we're focusing in the moment because we can only breathe here and now. And I want to remind you, this is your time. We're here for each other. We're here for you. And your goals and your dreams deserve your full attention. So let's bring our full attention right here, right into the breath of the moment. Let's turn off our ringers on our phone. Let's shut down the tabs on our computer. You know, shut off the notifications. Facebook can wait an hour, you know. Close the door to the room you're sitting in right now and bring yourself to you. Let's bring the attention right here to you. You know, we spend so much time dealing with what's coming at us from our devices, from our kids, from our families, from advertisements, from our phones and all of this stuff that, you know, it's noise and it blocks out what we should be focusing on is what's seeking to emerge from us, coming through us. So let's put our full focus here on you today. So grab a pen and paper, get ready to take some notes. And like I was saying earlier, if anybody was on the Difference Maker Success Call this morning, the talk that I did, we will be going over some of that material tonight, or a lot of that material tonight, or at least part of it. So it'll be a good opportunity to go deeper into this subject. And it's a big subject. Like I said on the call, it's one of those big ones. So, but before we jump in, I want to pose a question, and whoever wants to share. So this is week six, so we've been together for five weeks so far, going into week six. And we usually celebrate wins in the beginning. We're doing that as well. But I want to know, what is a win, an overall arching win for you? Who is the person you are today going into this week, opposed to the person that started week one of the Dream Builder program? What's a win that you've experienced? Who are you? How are you differently now than you were when we started?
I can share, Carl.
Okay. Please.
So this is, you know, I've gone through this program many times, and going through it again about the fourth time now, it's like a whole new level of awareness. It happens. It's just like these aha epiphany moments. It's just like, ah, oh, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And more things are manifesting. Things are happening more quickly. If a situation happens, you know, in the natural, I pause, I stop. I don't react anymore. So it's changed me a lot, and it's just a whole new level of awareness that I've grown to. And more in touch with the intuitive, infinite side of my being, more in touch with the Holy Spirit. That's the way I can explain it.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and it's true. It's the, you know, life is like a big spiral. This universe is shaped as a big spiral, and it's ever expanding. Our very DNA is a spiral, and we're always expanding and expressing ourselves. And you know, we know that when we go to these live events, you know, with Mary, our mentor, and it's like we go around that spiral again, and we experience it again, and it opens our awareness even more. And we've been digging really deep, going deeper into the topics and reading, you know, the authors and studying. And it's just amazing how every time you go around, it's like going around that mountain one more time, the vistas change, the experience changes, the awareness changes, the consciousness changes. So
yeah, and
true.
I learned something new every time. It's like, wow, I don't remember from before. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear that before. Yeah.
The
exactly.
vibration that I'm in, it's like things on the outside start to match and line up, and things come out of the blue. Like you say, oh, just out of the blue. And it's like, wow. And like, especially setting intentions. Oh, the power of setting intentions. It's just like you set an intention, and it's like, wow, this stuff really works. So to me, that's really, it's grown a lot for me. And it's just such an amazing experience. This work is amazing. It's life-changing. And I'm so grateful and happy that this came into our lives and that we're able to teach this and help other people, you know, have experiences like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody else? Who are you today than you were before you started this program? What is a win along that journey? Anybody else want to share or win this week? Let's share some. Let's celebrate, even if it's small.
Even if it's small. I don't know. I've been dealing with, like, having to juggle 20 different things, you know, financially. And just, you know, I think having more faith. And I've been really, like, praying to Jesus all the time and being grateful and thankful and please guide me and, you know, and help me be strong and, you know, to get this all straightened out, you know, for my son. You know, he's out he's at a wilderness therapy, but he's going to be going to a school. It looks like, you know, it's a good possibility. It's going to be in New Hampshire. But, you know, with this wilderness, you got to put all this money up front, and then you have to go and fight the insurance and, you know, trying to find the funds and different things. I've been pulling this and this together, and just, like, I just feel like everything, you know, and I just have faith and just praying to God, please let everything come together. Let me find the means to get all this done and taken care of, and it's coming together, and I don't know how I'm doing it, you know, but I'm juggling, like, 20 different people, like, different things at one time. And it's not easy having to take care of, another child and bills and a house and a dog and doing it all on my own.
Okay, so what I want to do is then invite you to realize that you're not on your own, right? We have this higher power. And
well,
you and God have handled every situation in your life up to this point. And there's no reason why that partnership, that co-creation will not continue. There's no reason why it wouldn't continue.
Absolutely.
So know that you are supported. Know that you have the strength and the skills to make those plates spin and keep them spinning.
Right.
You know, oftentimes it's funny because it's like, I heard this years ago and it really stuck with me. It's like if you're looking for a manager for a company or looking for a manager for a project, hire a mom. You know why? Because moms are the multitaskers. They're the ones that they're running the show. They're doing all of these things. They're the nurturer. They're the shopper. They're doing the cleaning. They're doing the nurturing. They're doing all of this stuff. So hire a mom, you know. So you have that power. That's right. Who you are, right? So I just invite you to remember that and have that's part of that faith, that you are
right.
co-creating. You are co-creating. You're not alone.
And this is what it looks like while it's all working out.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, find that quiet time for yourself and connect with the Holy Spirit. Connect with that quiet place. You know, even if it's a little 5 minutes here, it's amazing what you can do in 5 minutes.
Oh,
focus on your breath
here.
For just 5 minutes. It could feel like a lifetime.
Oh, my God. It's like taking a tranquilizer, breathing. It really is.
I do it in my car, like in the parking lot before I go into work, because it's like, you know, the rest of the day is going to be nonstop till tonight. And it's like, okay, take a deep breath. And I say a prayer and I just say, God, just guide me through today with all the things that are going to be thrown at me.
Yep.
And set intentions for the day.
Yes.
Yes, set those intentions throughout the day. And you can capture those little moments, especially if you're doing mundane tasks, something that's repetitive in the moment that you don't really have to put your focus on. You know, like, you know, sometimes it's driving, sometimes it's, you know, doing a chore. You can just, you be that person in your vision. You be that person you vision out while you're doing what you're doing right now. So we can, you know, talk about multitasking. We could layer that in, especially when we're doing mundane tasks that don't require us to, you know, I mean, you don't want to close your eyes and meditate while you're driving. That doesn't make sense. But you could, you know, if you're doing a mundane task or walking from one place to another or driving from one place, you can do that five-minute work, you know, that internal work, that internal clearing. So good. But it's good.
Makes
you are aware of that. You're aware, and you have those practices and those habits that you're forming to take care of you. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And envision it. I welcome you, and I invite you to vision it. Say, okay, my son's going to be doing this wilderness program up in New Hampshire. Let's vision it out. I don't know. I don't have to figure it all out. I'm just going to vision it. I see it. This is what I want. You know, in facts and circumstances, I don't have the money right at this moment, but let's vision it out. And you'll be surprised. Things start to happen. It comes like Caroline said, it comes out of the blue. It's like, where's the blue? It just came out of there, you know?
That's
so
true.
Vision it out, you know? Set intentions. That's part of setting intentions is part of the visioning process.
Okay.
Set that intention. You're in your car. You're doing that meditation. What's the intention for today? What is, you know, we often do when we wake up, we write to-do lists. Well, Mary asks us or teaches us to say, well, write a to-be list. Who do you want to be today? And show up as that person. You know, I want to be the best mom. I want to be the best employee. I want to be the best manager of, you know, of my world, of my home, of my children.
And being
of
that
my,
person
and be
of
the,
increase.
Right, and being that person of increase at the same time. Because it's flowing through you. And as it flows through you, it flows out to others. Whether it's the ones you love, your family, your son, your husband, your coworkers, you know, people in the supermarket, it's flowing through you. And you become that beacon.
Yeah. And, you know, and we know that we reap what we sow. So if we're putting
That's
out
true.
You know, abundance and love and we're being that person of increase, we're gonna attract it.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
So good. Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
Celebrate that. We're going to celebrate that.
Okay.
So thank you, everybody, for that. So last week we looked at the second stumbling block that's likely to come up in the gap. Okay. You know, we're in the gap. So, you know, phase one is the blueprinting. Phase two is into the gap. We're navigating this space right now. We're clearing the field. And we talked about a sense of lack of limitation or scarcity. And we turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone when we use it as an opportunity to expand our giving wherever we feel lack. You know, so if we, you know, if we feel like we don't have enough time, if we're juggling all of this stuff, that's a sense of lack. But we know we're co-creating here. Let's bless everything we have. Let's give in the area where we feel the greatest lack. and celebrate someone else who's got the kind of abundance we want to experience, because we know it exists. It's out there. We know it exists, and if it exists for one person, it can exist for all. The possibilities are endless. So what are some of the ways that you took action this week to grow in the areas where you felt the greatest lack? How did you experience that? You know, no matter what it was, it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be anything. Lack of money, time, education, ideas, love, whatever. Does anybody want to share something on that?
I flew out to Utah to visit my son and just spend one-on-one time with him for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just quiet now because I came back late last night and I miss him so much already, and I'm just a little melancholy, you know, just mm-hmm. listening. But we connected because it was just me and myself and Dylan, with no cousins, no friends, no phones, no nothing, just the two of us. And we talked a lot. So I felt like that was a great stepping stone. And as I was getting in my car to go back to the airport, this was yesterday morning, to fly back home, my phone beeped, and it said, "Reminder." And I clicked on it, and the reminder said, "I love you." So my son put that in my phone at the exact moment I got in my car to remind me that he loves me.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that made my day, yeah.
So celebrate that love. You gave love, and you receive love immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. That's the law of circulation at work, instantly. Celebrate that. Be
I'm just
and happy and
very
celebrate. We're celebrating with
very teary-eyed today because I miss him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you know, in spirit, there's no time and space, so you can connect to him instantly.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You're his mom. He's your son. There's a connection there.
Yeah.
You feel that connection. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not ready for the God part. But he's coming in. He's coming in February 6th, and he's not leaving till that Sunday night. And I'm bringing him down February 10th to Bethany for a second try.
We're looking forward to meeting him. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring him there before he has to fly out.
Let everything happen organically. Just keep.
Going. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
He's like, "Oh, yeah, Mom, I know you found God. Yeah, 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 yeah." You know, he's kind of got that kind of attitude. He's just, you know, not believing it.
He'll get there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You be that person of increase. You be the godly mother, the mother who holds Christ in her heart, and keep, you're like a radio tower. You're sending out signals all the time because that you hold on to your faith. And people feel that. He will feel that, even if he's thousands of miles away. He will feel that.
Yeah.
You keep that. You keep that strong. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a
yeah.
beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So we celebrate that. So good for you. Anybody
Thank
else?
You.
Anybody else took action this week? Where they felt lack and they leaned into it?
Well, there was lack for me. It was, I really had a rough week because, you know, with this wilderness, you have to pay every 2 weeks, and he's staying a little bit longer. Long story short, you know, it's the lack of money because you got to put it all out, and then you get everything back, but not for a while. Or not everything back, but at least, you can get a good part back. But I'm, like, trying to figure out, you know, okay, where is it coming from? What am I going to do? But then all of a sudden today, I just happen to go over. I'm looking at some old cards that I paid off, and they're still active. And I'm like, oh, let me call them. And one had a $3,000 limit, and one had a $5,000 limit, and I needed another $3,500 to pay the balance. And I'm like, whoop, there I go.
Yep,
I'm
there
like,
it is.
You know,
yep.
It appeared, and I'm like, oh wow, this is awesome. You know, it's like. You know, I was just determined to figure out how I was going to do this, and then I just came. you know, and
yep.
then giving, like, like today I went in and I got to work a little early and I'm like, okay, I decided I'm going to get everybody coffee today and treat. And I mean, they were just like, everybody was just so happy. One girl just gave me a hug and like, oh, she's Japanese. And she's going, that was so nice of you. And, it's just the response you get, that feeling when,
you're being that person of increase. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how it comes back to you. But yeah.
But look how you changed somebody for the price of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, she gave me a big hug. I love you. I'm like, Tachika, it was only coffee.
I'll give out coffee all day to get free hugs. That's amazing.
I was like, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
I love
thing.
You, Kathy. Yeah.
Oh, you see? But that's you're practicing. You're practicing that giving. And you received.
Yeah.
You received immediately as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know? And it's not the cost of the cup of coffee. It's what you received inside.
Yeah.
That feeling that you got in your heart, that's stirring in your spirit.
Right.
For just a simple thing. Simple thing. It doesn't really take much when we're in that moment. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. So those are great examples, and we continue. We continue with that. We continue giving. If we get that sense of lack, just lean into it. Continue giving.
Right.
Continue being that person of increase. So this week we're focused on forgiveness. This is a biggie. This is a, the rocks and stones and roots that are in our field that can really suck up our energy. And nothing frees our heart more than forgiveness. Nothing will just free up that energy, clear up that field more than forgiveness. Many people believe that there's some things that are they're just not worthy of forgiving. The people, you could be yourself, maybe you acted unskillfully at some point, and some people can do some pretty awful things, as we know.
Right.
And they don't seem worthy, quote unquote, worthy of forgiveness. And perhaps you felt that way too. I mean, I know I have. We all have. If you're breathing, we've experienced this. And and one of the most important things to learn about forgiveness, and this is a really strong analogy for me, is that you use the analogy of someone who's in jail. Well, if somebody's in jail, you have to have a jailer. And as long as there's somebody jailed, there has to be a jailer. There has to be somebody standing guard at that prison. And forgiveness frees the one being jailed, but most importantly, it frees the jailer to a life of greater freedom, fullness, and joy. And oftentimes, we're the jailed and the jailer, if you really think about it. And that's how this analogy really struck me, because we're holding that part of ourselves. We're holding that energy captive. Because we have this unforgiveness. It's really important for us to talk about this. It's a major part of our dream building process, because so much energy can be really freed up on this. And forgiveness is a lifelong process. It's not a one-time event. It's not something you go, okay, you put your coin in the slot and it's done. It doesn't work that way. There's layers to it, just like healing. There's layers to it. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So we're gonna go over some tools and some resources and how you can help you with your practice of forgiveness. But one way is to change our perception of it. The Course in Miracles says that something very interesting. It says that every act is either an expression of love or a call for love, regardless of how unskillful it may seem. So just changing our perception to that, to say, okay, well, somebody just acted really unskillful. They hurt me. But perhaps it was a call for love in some way. In some way, it was a call for love. Just think about how that changes things, that shift in perception. Again, we're talking about changing the environment, our field inside of us. So if I'm able to see every act, regardless of how bad it may seem, regardless of how unskillful it may appear, as some aspect of love, Well, you know what? That makes compassion and therefore forgiveness a whole lot easier. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to hang out a shingle and say, okay, I'm a doormat, come walk all over me. It doesn't mean we accept what has happened. We don't condone it. You know, we're not going to, certainly not going to forget it. We're not open to it happen again. And that's not where forgiveness is. You know, it doesn't mean we have to hang out with these people that are hurtful or welcome anybody that's going to hurt us. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to put ourselves in front of a speeding truck, but it does mean that I can better understand and have compassion towards someone else's behavior. Just puts it in a different perspective. And compassion is the beginning of forgiveness, is to be compassionate. Because we've gone through it too. We've had days where, you know, maybe we didn't do something that seems to us so horrible, but maybe we screamed at our kids one time or yelled at the little old lady who was walking too slow in front of us in the supermarket or whatever it was. There are those times where we've acted unskillfully, that our behavior was not ideal. And, you know, if we reflect back on it and say, all right, well, I was in a bad mood, or this happened, well, have compassion for yourself as well. You know, and recognize, all right, well, maybe I can do this better next time. So consider a time. Let's consider a time when someone did something that felt hurtful to you, or that you did something that may have been hurtful to someone else. Let's look back on this now. And do you believe their actions or your actions came out of a call for love or as an expression of love?
Hmm.
I'm going to open that up for conversation.
Like an ex-husband?
Could be an ex-husband. It could be anybody, right?
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes, like, you know, if you know, Mary tells the story of being in the supermarket and the checker being rude and unhelpful, and she just got indignant, and she was just like, ah. But then she finds out later from the young man that's helping her load the bags into her car that, you know, her son got hurt, and he's in the hospital, and she wanted to be there, but she had to come to work. And immediately, her internal environment changed. The energy shifted immediately. It was instant. Oh, my gosh. How many times has that happened to us? It's like hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
So what occurred to her on her way home is like, in the absence of knowing, why can't we be compassionate all the time? No matter how unskillful something might be, no matter how bad your ex-husband behaved, right?
Right.
So let's. Who wants to talk about that? Let's open this up. Let's learn.
How about you, Mark and Katie?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking back with my father. He passed away 4 years ago at 91 and was from the dreaded C word. But we just had a lot to work through over our life. And over the last 4 or 5 years, Katie and I really were there for him. And we were able to get past that thick wall for whatever happened to him. And the key person for me to learn compassion was my wife. So it was just very good at the end of his life where he just really loved us, and especially my wife, to see what can happen if you'll just get past, you know, we all have those walls, and it's all from misunderstanding and just not really knowing one another's life experience. So just to know that when he passed into a better place, so to speak, you know, we both had reconciled and had forgiveness. And it was my wife was probably the main catalyst to help me see him differently. So I guess that's pretty significant when you think about, you know, making peace with your father.
Yes.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I had something, you know, similar. My dad didn't pass, not similar in that respect. But, you know, my dad is he's a strong personality, and I grew up, you know, he was very controlling. And you know, growing up in that atmosphere, obviously it affected me, and it affected how I saw the world and my relationship to myself. And I went through a lot of work, a lot of self-work over the years. And you know, my ex-wife and I, you know, we went through a lot of that. And I did a lot of that internal work, and I came to a place of forgiveness. But it was interesting because she still held on to the unforgiveness, even though she didn't experience it directly, but she saw the effects that it had on me and my personality. And so I had, it's interesting because I had let that go. I found peace with that. And it still resonated with her. And it still would come up from time to time. It's like, oh, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, just let it go. And what comes to mind is there's this Buddhist story. There's a master and a student that are walking together, and it had been, you know, it was in the old times when they didn't have paved roads, and the roads were dirt, and it was a really bad rainy season, and the main road was really just a mud, a quagmire. And there was this woman who was trying to get across the main road, and she just couldn't do it. It was just a mess. And in that time, you know, the teachers and the students weren't allowed to touch a female. They couldn't touch somebody of the opposite sex. And they're come walking along on their journey to the next region. And so they come across, and the master just goes up to this lady, picks her up, walks her across this muddy road, puts her down on the other side, makes his way back, and continues on the journey, and doesn't say a word. And the student is just dumbfounded. He's just dumbfounded, and he's just like going over and over in his head, and he's like, I can't believe he just did that. I don't understand this. And he ruminated on it for a couple hours, and finally he says, man, you know, teacher, I have to ask you. He's like, you touched this woman. You picked her up. And he said, yes, and I put her down. Why haven't you?
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, things happen sometimes. And I think it's a powerful story in forgiveness. It's like, okay, things happen, but you know what? We have to put them down sometimes because, you know, it's like holding a hot stone in your hand and expecting the other person to get burned. It's like drinking poison every single day. Oh, it's this son of a, blah, blah, blah. I'm drinking poison every single day and I'm expecting that person to die. And especially if it's somebody that's not even with us anymore, somebody that's passed away. I've met so many people. It's like, oh, not my uncle, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, why don't you go talk to your uncle? I can't. He died. Well, why are you holding that then? You're the jailer and the jailed. Put it down. Find that piece and put it down because that's going to release such an amount of energy. It's going to clear that field for you. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. And sometimes, like, you know, Mark, sometimes we do experience it through other people. We experience life through other people. And we see that shift in others, and then they become a great example for us. They become that manifestation for us, that learning moment where we say, oh, I can find peace here because I'm witnessing it. I'm witnessing it. Beautiful. You know, and it's really a shift in perception. It's really a shift if you think about it. Just putting it down, you know. So that's why forgiveness is such a big thing. You know, and again, you know, forgiveness is a shift in perception that removes a block in me to my awareness of love's presence. Think about that. That block was in me all along. And forgiveness takes my blinders off. It opens it up. Forgiveness helps me see what I couldn't see before. That's that awareness. That's that raising of consciousness. Forgiveness enables me to see the love that is always and everywhere present. God is love, and he's always present. He's omnipotent. He's infinite. He's always here. It's just our ability to see. We take those blinders off. We put the woman down and continue on our journey. All right? And it is a process. It's not a one-time thing. It's a process. You know, just like we learn to walk by falling down. You know, it's not a one-time event. It's a process. You know, just as a baby learns to walk by falling down and they continuing to get back up. So we learn forgiveness by putting one foot in front of the other. We make those baby steps, continuing to do the work and remembering that with each step we take, we get a little better at it. We get a little better at it. We release a little
right.
bit more. Until finally it's just, it dissipates. It dissipates. You know? And it's, you know, it's like, you know, Mary said to us one time, she goes, well, you know, how do you know you still have forgiveness, you know, unforgiveness in your heart? She goes, are you still breathing? Yeah. Well, you still have unforgiveness in your heart. Because that's just part of our human experience. It's part of that, you know. It's part of that. And so we continue. We continue it. It's like a daily habit that we should get into. Just like we wake up and we go to the bathroom, we do our morning routine, we brush our teeth, we drink our glass of Kangen water. It's part of the routine, right? Forgiveness should be part of that routine. Because we're jailed. Let's release the jailer every single day. Let's release the jailed. Let's release that prisoner. Let's put that woman down and move on. So we do that work every single day, every single day. Now, there's also this idea, this concept that there's a place where our souls are just fine because we are all connected. We're all connected to God. We're all one, connected to God. And sometimes we might find ourselves accumulating a list of if-onlys, you know, because that's part of that, you know, if only this would have happened, or if only we could have a conversation, or if only we can get to some sort of understanding here, if only he could see my point of view, if only she would apologize for what she did, if only, if only, if only. Liz Gilbert, she wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and she described this concept, this thought, when she so desperately wanted to talk to her ex-husband. If only I could talk to him. If only I could make myself understood, and if only, you know, I could experience, you know, some sort of forgiveness. Instead, she had a dream, and she writes about this in her book. She had a dream where her soul met with his, and she writes, quote, there were just two cool blue souls who already understood everything. They didn't need to forgive each other. They were born forgiving each other. And the philosopher Rumi, he described the same place, of understanding and connection. And he wrote, out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there's a field. I will meet you there. That's so beautiful, if you really think about it. Let's put this, our humanness aside. Let's put our ego aside. And let's meet in that field where we can all connect. Where can we all connect? You know? So, and sometimes, because we're human, sometimes we've done all this work. We've done what we can with forgiveness. And we've gotten to that place of understanding and compassion. But still, on that human level, the connection just seems impossible. There's just that little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's when we can take solace in the fact that on the spiritual plane, our souls are just fine. Our souls are we completely understand each other. Our souls are forever connected. We're happy. We're joyful. So shift in perception. It's a shift inside of us. You know? If it's something that's more recent, it happened, yeah, the sting is still there. That hurt is still there. The pain could still be felt. But like I said, it's like, you know, over time heals everything, right? Let's do that work. Let's continue doing that work. Let's make it part of our daily routine of just clearing that field. And we're actually, next week, we're going to continue our discussion on this. We're going to give you some tools to work, you know, some tools to increase that or to help with further with, you know, forgiveness and so forth. But, you know, anybody else want to share on this topic?
Yeah, on forgiveness. I mean, I forgive. I mean, with my ex-husband with everything, he was controlling, good with threats and different things, and I was laid back and took it all. And I mean, long story short, I'm a pretty strong person, and after losing everything, getting divorced, losing everything. I mean, another person would have had a breakdown maybe, but I just kept pushing forward and always had hope and, had a focus on the kids. And we're amicable. I mean, I let him in to see the kids. I mean, because it's not my nature. I don't like being angry, mean, but it's just not me. I want to be amicable, but it's very hard because he makes it hard sometimes, And yeah. I've learned to be more assertive and just speak my mind. And if he doesn't like it, that's tough, That's how I've gotten. I've become more assertive. And this is the way it is, whatever, but, and in the same breath, and he's the same way. We might have words or whatever, but in the same breath, the next day we're talking, you have resentment sometimes, but I try not to. I try to get it out of my head, I feel grateful, I have a home again, my kids are good, healthy, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to work out, I'm going to, better myself, in some way, or have my own little business, whatever I'm trying to work on. But I just feel like, but the forgiveness is hard. I mean, I have forgiven, but it's hard to forget.
Necessarily forget. Again, we don't, right. Forgiveness doesn't mean we forget.
Okay.
Forget. It's still there,
Yeah.
But I invite you, when we do talk to couples, let's say.
Right.
If you could, just step outside of the arena of the ring, so to speak.
Right.
You could and just meditate on. I invite you to meditate on to say, okay, well, I see some of his behavior and it continues and this and that, and I see some of my behavior in response to that.
Right.
If we could shift your perception a bit and say, well, what if it is a call for love? Maybe there's something he's acting this way and I'm reacting this way because there's some aspect of love that's not being fulfilled. It's a call for love.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you are there, to fulfill that need, that, the separation happened. But at the same time, there's still that relationship.
Right.
So perhaps by just shifting that perception a little bit, just coming at it. I mean, Dr. Wayne Dyer says if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And it just shifts our perception, and all of a sudden, maybe a clarity comes through, and there's an understanding there, on your part, a deeper understanding, that maybe this is a call for love in him,
right?
And by shifting that perception, you could shift your response or your relationship to that, and things could immediately change on the outside and between you.
Okay.
All right. And another way to think of it, and this is actually this came from a pastor of ours, and actually Mary talks about this too. She says that when somebody is acting unskillfully or hurtful, mm-hmm. or whatever we want to label it, it's helpful to separate the behavior from the person. So again, if we expand on this idea that there's a place where our souls are fine, and I'm going to meet you there. Well, let's separate the behavior from the person. And that was actually, and part of the exercises this week, the exercise 4, is to recognize it said, okay, this is the person I would love to forgive. You write down the behavior that hurt you,
mm-hmm.
but then you write down the qualities of them that you loved. Or that you like about them, right? And separate the behavior. It's an exercise in separating the behavior. And then like our pastor, in Christian terms, he said, separate the person from the principality of darkness that's operating through that person. Not that they're possessed or have, an evil spirit or whatever. But look at it as, let's just separate that behavior. And it sort of clears that fog. It sort of clears, makes things a little bit clearer. And maybe in that moment, it allows us to see that call for love and understand it, have a deeper understanding there. and then compassion or a shift happens in us, and then that whole situation could dissipate. You can finally put that woman down on the other side of the mud road and not have to think about it anymore.
That would be great.
Yeah. You know, but again, I invite you to the shift will happen inside you. Because we can't make somebody else. We can't shift somebody else. We can guide them and help them, but you can't breathe for somebody else. Just like, you know, your son, Eileen's son, or our kids, we can't breathe for them. We can teach them and nurture them, but we can't do their breathing. They have to breathe on their own. And that's, you know, it's something that we learn as parents is, you know, we nurture them, and hopefully, you know, we release them into the world. But same thing with your ex is you can't breathe for him. You can't change him. But you can change yourself. You can change your internal environment, and that will be reflected on the outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Carl.
Yes, Michael.
Hey, it's Michael. You know, it seems like a really good time. This quote that I love is from Bob Proctor, and if those of you who don't know who he is, he's worth looking into. And one thing he says that really resonated with me, especially in terms of this week, was, you know, what he says is, you are the only problem you will ever have, and you are the only solution. So it kind of, and I say that, you know, again, you're the only problem you will ever have, and you are the only solution, meaning it is perception. Of what? And when we say forgiven things, which is interesting, because I think we've all had things happen and we still hold the thing of, you know, what an a-hole, you know, you can forgive, but, and this is so trite, but not forget. And you also can choose just not to be around that energy anymore. You know, and so if there are people around you that, you know, that you do have issues with the rest of this thing, you really can evaluate to yourself and say, you know what, I've thought about this, you know, I don't feel this necessarily has anything to do with my perception. I just don't feel better when I'm around them, and make that choice as well. You don't, as you said earlier, Carl, you just don't have to sit and be in the line of fire, because I'm a bigger person. You don't have to do that. And I think so many people get confused about that, you know, is, you know, I wish I were a bigger person and could forgive. Well, maybe you have forgiven, but you don't, you know, don't keep putting yourself up and setting yourself up for failure. If you don't like someone's energy around you, you walk away from them and you don't feel better, then what are you doing in it? You know, you don't force yourself, you know, to eat foods that you don't like. Well, maybe, you know, if you're on a street,
your broccoli,
you're like, you're like, okay, I got to do it because of this, you know, but for your own, you know, for your own, I mean, that would be it in your physical wellness, but in your own spiritual wellness, you go to the well that, you know, you feel the water is positive, it's supportive, it's, you know, it tastes good.
And wish them well. Say blessings over them.
And do. You know, you can. And just say, you know, I've done that with myself. And just reevaluating of, you know, when you're in the car and you're driving home from dinner and you think, why do I keep doing this? Like, every time I say, why did I give up 2 hours out of my life to listen to this person for like 2 hours, you know, and finally you just make a decision. You know, and if it's a problem, you know, how do you get around it? You may get around it by, I'm choosing better. I'm making a better decision.
Yeah.
And that's only up to me.
It's up to you. So going back to the jail and the jailer analogy, it's like you putting yourself in jail and then realizing that the door was never locked. You can get out any time. Why do I keep going back into the box? I can make the choice and say, I don't want this anymore.
Or you getting out of that paradigm.
Yeah. You know? So it was good. I love that Bob Proctor quote. I wrote that down. Yeah.
Yeah, he's interesting.
Very good. It's very interesting.
I like
very
that.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love
we create our own problems.
Yeah. It's like we often say, you know, we get in our own way. We get
That's
in our
right.
own way. You know? And it's our operating system. It's our paradigms. And again, a lot of that is learned. It's learned. It was put there by, you know, most likely by people that loved us and wanted to protect us. But, you know, we are self-aware. We are, our awareness is growing, our consciousness is growing, and we can go in and change that operating system. It's a habit.
Yeah.
It's a habit. So
we
can go in
rewrite
and decode that. We can rewrite it.
Yeah.
And we could rewrite it. So that's why we use our brave thinking tools. Notice what you're noticing. Stand guard at the portal of your mind. Notice what's in the field that needs to be cleared. And just start cleaning it out. It's like, you know, it's like going through your closets every 6 months. It's like, you know what? I haven't worn this shirt in 3 years. Why am I holding on to it? Because I'm going to wear
it
one day? You
and
know?
Give it to somebody in need.
Release it. Release it. You know? Release it. Wow. So we had a really deep conversation this week.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a story or a thought or something that came up they want to contribute, bring to the table?
Or any help working through something or a paradigm that's coming up? Or
yeah, places where you feel wobbly?
Yeah.
On your green growing edge. So this,
you know,
like I said, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I'll be away next week because I leave Sunday night. I'll be in the wilderness doing what my son's been doing for 8 weeks, living in a yurt and, you know, family. It's called Family Spark, so it's family therapy with him and his dad and me and all the therapists and the boys in his group. So I'll be out in Idaho next Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't need to
bring.
No
so
phone,
bring,
no phones, no nothing.
Well, bring your warm clothes, right? Bring the tools
of
survival.
I am.
Can bring your brave thinking tools, and you can bring the tools that you're learning here with you as well.
Oh, I'm bringing them with. App.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All coming.
So sometimes if we change our environment just like that, we're just, you know, go out, our perception changes. It shifts things. It's just like a lot of people say, oh, I love working at home, and there's this big movement of working at home. But then you get caught up, and it's like, well, you're in your home environment. It's like the dishes have to be done, and the dog has to be taken out, and the laundry has to be done and folded. And sometimes now people that work from home, quote-unquote, go to a different environment. They'll go to a cafe. They'll go to the library. They'll just change that environment because
right.
it just changes the environment. It changes the surroundings. So maybe we, you know, we should all build some yurts and go live in the woods. And
yeah.
You know? Maybe we'll do I don't know. Michael, how's that sound? We'll go out and do a wilderness trek for a week. We'll do like a deep dive. Does that sound like exciting to you?
Well, you know, I did go on safari, which was great. You know, and I'll send you the link to it. And maybe you guys would be up for doing it too.
Wow.
That sounds good to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. It was incredible. Incredible.
I can imagine.
You know, wake up at, you know, 4 a.m. every day, get out of the jeeps and you know, go. And it was a non-hunting reserve. So this was not about hunting. This was about just watching and observing and
appreciating
I got
nature.
More. Oh, just, you know, yeah, I've ordered a giraffe, but there's problems with the customs department, you know. some ridiculous thing about having a giraffe in your backyard and, you know, what a bunch of silliness. But I'm going to get through it.
Wow. That's great.
And the porpoise I ordered, that too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, I think, you know, being in the yurt, it's going to be a non-hunting trip, too. So
yeah.
Let's keep that in mind. It's a non-hunting trip. So that's good. And don't order a giraffe.
No.
It's too late. Too late.
Too late.
Well, we'll be holding space for you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's all positive. Absolutely. It's all good. Yeah.
It's all good. And you know, we're not going to have devices, I guess, you know, phones, so you wouldn't be able to listen.
No, they won't know. They don't want you having anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Monday night, three nights. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 days, three nights.
Okay.
So I'm sure you're going to have some quiet time, so you'll be able to see what seeks to emerge from you and through you.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, it'll be an experience.
Good, good.
Embrace it.
So we're holding space for you as
I am.
Well.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, you know, implement a daily practice this week. What is there for me to forgive today? Ask, use your intuition. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is there for me to forgive today? You know, make that part of your daily practice. And, enlist three sacred friends in your life. You know, Mary talked about sacred friends, the friends that are hard to forgive, the ones that are, you know, your friends are easy to forgive. The sacred friends, those, the ones that cause your heart to grow. So list three sacred friends in your life and the ways in which they've enabled your heart to expand. You know, we can reframe that. We can look at that and see how that there was growth there. There was always growth there. Continue to listen to meditation number two, because we're in that phase two. And we'll be doing audio or lesson number 11 for next week. And make sure you do the exercises in the workbook. Lean into it. The work shows. So very good. So next week, let me just pull up my calendar. Today is the 23rd. So next Wednesday is the 30th. So we're still
30th.
Yeah, we're still in January. So
okay.
7:30.
This month flew by.
That's right.
I know, it flew.
It did fly. All right. Well, I love you all. Enjoy the week. We're holding space for you, Kathy, and holding space for everybody. So God bless everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you all.
Love you.
Everybody.
All right.
Bye bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.